Hello, and welcome to the New Hope Church podcast. Whether you are a member of our church family, either in person or online, or just checking us out for the first time, we believe that you belong here at New Hope Church, and we hope that this message speaks to you today. Don't forget to check us out online at newhopechurch.tv, and we'd love to connect with you on social media at New Hope Church TV. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
I want to welcome everybody today. My name is Pastor Carl. I'm the lead student pastor here. Pearland, Webster, Friendswood, Alvin, 288, Weibo, Montana. How are we doing? We doing good? Glad y'all are in the house of God. We are continuing our series called, anybody know what it's called? Good job. Until the day that Jesus comes back, because he's coming back. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's coming back. And so what do we do, though, until that glorious day that he comes back? How do we live our lives as believers? What do we do as a church? That's what we're studying. We've been in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 4 today. Here's what I want you to do. If you already have your phone out, you're already ahead. Just go ahead and cancel whatever social media app you're at and open the Bible app. Good job. And I want us to read through this together. We're going to go through all 12 verses over the course of this sermon, and I want you to follow along. So if you got your Bible or you have your phone, follow along with me. We're going to be in the ESV version. There ain't nothing more powerful than going through God's word. That's why we're here, right? This is what changes our hearts. This is what changes our minds. So we're going to read through it together, okay? So starting today in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting verse 1. Here we go. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Now, I just want to point out, what is this word right here? Walk. Now, I believe that we are called to follow Scripture, right? That's why we're here. We want to obey God's word. That's why I walk. So if you choose to disobey Scripture and do the opposite of walking, which would be running, that's up to you. I personally, I'm going to walk because I'm going to honor God. If you want to do that thing called running and go and jog or whatever, you do you. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm going to walk. That's what I'm going to do. Now, funny story. Today I was driving up and there was a guy jogging and he had like his full, you know, lime green clothes on. And I was like, man, that's awesome. And then I drove past him at 45 miles an hour and I said, you keep running. I'm just going to drive past you. Okay. Now, this is how we ought to walk to what? Please God. So in other words, church, there's a way that we are called to walk that what? Pleases God. So there's a way that God has called you to walk through this life. There's a way that you are called to live your life that pleases God. Now, with that logic, that means that there's also a way that you can walk that doesn't please God. There's a way that you can be walking through this world right now that you look like everybody else that is not pleasing God. This over here, this takes work. This takes effort. It does not come naturally. This, walking a way that doesn't please God, takes no effort, takes no skill, everybody can do it. Today, we're gonna talk about how we can walk in a way that pleases God. Now, how we're gonna do that is simple. This is our theme, this is what we're gonna be talking about. We are called to walk what? We're not supposed to look like everybody else. If you're a believer in Christ today, you're not supposed to look like everybody else. You're supposed to walk different. Makes me think of my own house. I have a lot of toddlers walking slash running around. update. So we have three biological kids, and then we foster. Last time I talked to y'all, we were fostering a little girl, sweet little girl. She went back to live with her mom, and she's doing great. Praise God. She's doing awesome. We pray for her often. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's the goal. That's the goal. We feel the need, and we pray for her often, and one day, Lord, let us see her again in heaven. But we have our three, and then we got a placement back in June of sibling set of three. So we have three, and then we took three, and that adds up to six kids. So we got six. Anybody wants to come over and just change some diapers? Oh, also, they're all under the age of six. Hey, let's go. Yeah. That's most people's reactions. They say, God bless you. I'm out, right? So we love it, though. We love foster. It's what we feel like God's called us to do. But our house is rowdy. It's rowdy over there. And so we have a lot of toddlers running around. Their ages are, what are they? We got one, two, two, three, no, 1, 2, 2, 4, 4, 5. So it's a good time. We love them all. Okay, you're getting me off track. But when you think of a toddler walking, right? You ever seen a toddler walk, right? They kind of just, you know, and then they just move quickly. It's always full speed, right? They don't ever pace themselves. It's full, and then they just run, poof. And then if they trip over something, right, they hit something, boom. And you know, as a parent, if you hear that, you wait, right? You wait, and you're like, no cry, all right, we're good. And then you go, or you hear, yeah, you're like, all right, I'll come over there, right? Us as adults, we're civilized, right? We got our Skechers slip-ons, right? You know, and we're right here, boom, right? Heel to toe, right? No knee pain, no back pain, right? Here we go, we're just walking, we feel good, right? All is right. The difference as a toddler versus an adult walking is the difference that someone should see in your life as a believer. Right? The difference that they're like, they look at you, they may not know what it is, but they look at your life, they look at your marriage, they look at how you honor your spouse or your money, and they say, there's something different about you. What is it about you? And that's what we're talking about today, right? How do we walk differently? Let me go over to verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2, if you're following along, I hope you are. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of who? God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Right here. Did you know that God has a plan for your life? Did you know that God, the creator of the universe, has a plan for you? Someone today, you came to church because you were thinking, no one cares about me. No one loves me. No one understands what I'm going through. I feel alone. I feel isolated. Hear me. God has a plan for your life. Amen, church? Now, I know what God's will is for your life. I know what his will is for your life. What's that word? Sanctification. You're like, I don't know if that's what. That doesn't sound. Here's what sanctification is. It's a great word. What are we celebrating in 2 weeks? 2 weeks from now, what are we celebrating? Easter. Why is Easter such a big deal for the church? Because, man, that's where the resurrection of the dead, right? That's where Jesus did what no one else could do. He died. He died on the cross, and 3 days later, he rose so that we could have life, right? That's why we do it. If we didn't have Easter, why are we even here? But praise God, we have Easter, right? And so sanctification is simply looking more like the Savior of the world. Sanctification is simply aiming to the bar that Jesus has already set before us. Sanctification is me saying, I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to do things differently in my life. That's God's will for you. His will for you every single day is to look more like Jesus. If you got two options today, if you're praying about something, this is bonus. Two options. You got A and you got B. And you came up and said, hey, Carl, which one should I do? Ask yourself, which one makes you look more like Jesus? Go to God's word and say, which one aligns more with his word, and do that one and watch God show up. Now, he doesn't stop there though. He says that you abstain from sexual immorality. So he sets the bar, walk, you know, right? You were kind of walk differently, sexual immorality, or in other words, church, we are called to walk in purity. Now, this word kind of has a little bit of negative connotation to it, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes if you grew up in the church, especially my generation, it, like purity culture, and if you did mess up, you felt a lot of shame or all of that kind of stuff. So there's been kind of a tilt away from that. But my fear when that happens is it's created like a cultural Christianity, right? We're like, I follow Jesus. Yes, sir, I love God, but I'm going to watch that Netflix show, this TVMA that has some nudity in it that I really shouldn't be watching, but I really want to watch it because everybody else is watching it. I love God. Yeah, I love Jesus, but I'm going to start cussing with the boys, and I might drink a little too much, but hey, I'm forgiven. I love God. That doesn't make any sense, right? Saying, I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to walk in purity, yet I'm doing the things that God has called me not to do. It's like this one time. I was at camp, summer camp. We go to Giddings, Texas, tiny little town, Giddings, Texas. And shout out, if you got students that want to go to camp, do it. It's worth it. God changes lives. But we were at Giddings. We went to a Tex-Mex place, naturally, because I go to Tex-Mex for the chips and salsa. Everything else is bonus. You go for the chips and salsa. My goal is to get so full on that I don't even have room for my meal, right? Like, that's my goal. So I'm there, and I'm eating the chips and salsa, and then our waiter comes up. Now, remember, the waiter is controlling the chips and salsa, right? So if he doesn't like me, I won't get refills, right? You know that, like, you gotta, you know, because they have a lot of power in this moment, okay? So he walks up. We're new, obviously, because this is a tiny little town. He says, hey, where are you from? I said, oh, we're from Houston. And then he says, oh, I'm from Houston. Now, what would you say in that moment? What is the next question you would ask? What part of Houston? Right, again, salsa man. He has power. I can't just, like, ignore him. Stiff arm. No, I can't do that, right? Because I want the salsa. So I'm like, oh, nice. What part of Houston are you from? And he says, I'm from the north-south side. In that moment, I just wanted to make a joke. But again, salsa man, I couldn't, right? Like, if I make a joke, then he's mad. He's going to spend my salsa. I don't get the refills. So I'm like, oh, cool. North, south. So, like, downtown? Like, I don't know. Like, what does that even mean? It's impossible, right? You can't be from the north and the south side at the same time. You can't say I'm walking in purity and walking in sexual sin at the same time either. It's impossible. You can't say I'm going to walk different, I'm going to honor God, I'm going to walk in purity, and at the same time I'm walking in sexual sin. Church, you got to pick. And sometimes I fear, because I hear this, well, Carl, everybody's doing it. Everybody's watching it. Other Christians are watching it. Let me tell you this, good rule of thumb, majority does not mean godly. If the majority, honestly, if the majority of the world is doing something, that should be like alarm bells going off in your head. Like, I should do the opposite, right? Because last time I checked, this world is pretty broken. Is it still broken? Still pretty broken? Okay. So if the majority of people are doing something, most of the time, that is not godly. Why? Because we are called to walk what? We are called to walk different. This is a big part of my past. I was addicted to pornography for 10 years of my life, sexual impurity, all of that stuff. And I reached a point when I was in college where I was like, I am so tired of this. Don't raise your hand. But if you had that moment, if you were struggling with sin, where you're like, I am tired of this. That might be why you're at church today. Let me tell you, that's a good place to be. Because that means you'll do what it takes to get free. Right? So I was like, I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of making promises and failings. So I'm going to take radical steps, whatever it takes. So first thing I did is I blocked the internet on this thing. You can do that. You can turn the internet off. Turn the internet off. I put my laptop away. So if I wanted to access the internet, I had to go to the library. And so I'd be with my buddies and they'd be like, hey, can you like search this? I'm like, nah, man, I can't. He's like, what? Why? Well, I don't have the internet on my phone. I want to walk in purity. I'm tired of that. I need to set boundaries. Like, man, that's crazy. I would never do that. Why would you do that? These are Christians, other Christians that are saying this to me. But it's worth it. Why? Because I want to walk differently. I want to be different. We are called to walk different. I want to walk in a way that pleases God. Go back to verse 1. So I don't care what it takes to get off of this route, do it. It's worth it. It's worth it to walk in purity. I'm going to show you this in verse 4 and 5. He says this, that each one of you should know how to what? Control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passionate lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Control. Self-control. Self-control is simply this. I have the option to do something, but I choose not to. I could, but I don't. Right? I could watch that show, but I don't. I could listen to that music, but I don't. Speaking of music, man, if you are listening to music that is talking about sin that you don't want to commit, why are you letting that enter into your ears, man? Listen to things that honor God, right? Come on now. But if you're at the gym and you could look, but you choose not to. You could go to that website, but you choose not to. You're living with somebody that's not your spouse. And you could stay there, but you choose to move out. Let me just say this in the absolute most love I could. If you're not married, that's sin, man. I don't care if you say, well, we're gonna get married, but you're not married yet. Move out, get married, move back in. Honor God. We are called to live what? different. We're called to live different. And he says it this way, in holiness and honor. Do you look at your life? Do you look at this area maybe that you're struggling with? Am I bringing holiness and honor to there, or is this bringing shame? I need to get it right. And let me just say this before I move on. If there's a part of you that when I'm bringing this up, the Holy Spirit's bringing up an area of your life, don't ignore it. Repent. Repent to your spouse, life group leader, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, whatever. Whatever it takes. Talk to the prayer partners down here in front. Get right with God. Bring it to the light. Amen? Verse 6. It says this, that no one transgress or wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. So we see a shift in Paul's language. He's saying, when you sin, you're not just sinning against yourself or against the other person, but you're sinning against the standard that God has set for your life, right? You're sinning against him. And then he goes on to say this in verse 7, for God has not called us to what? Impurity, but in holiness. Impurity versus holiness. Impurity takes no effort. It takes no effort to walk in impurity. I've never heard someone say, man, you know, I'm addicted to four things and I'm shooting for double digits, man. I'm just pumped to be addicted to 10 different things. I've never heard anybody say that, right? Because it takes no skill to walk in impurity. It takes effort to walk in holiness. And my fear sometimes, though, church, is that this. We take something which is true. We are saved by grace and grace alone. We are saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we were just singing about. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood, right? There's nothing we could do to earn salvation, right? We are saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen? That's why, Easter is, we were dead in our sins and he gave us life. Yes. He saved you by grace, not to do whatever you want. He saved you by grace so that you have an opportunity to walk on the path to be different. You hear me on this, right? Like, if you're back here, you can't walk on the path being different if you're an atheist. The only people that have access, to walking differently is the people that have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Then you can walk differently. But man, my heart hurts. Because we got people that are saved, man, you're saved by the blood of Christ, but your life looks no differently than everybody else around you. Come on now. He didn't save you just so you could do whatever sin you want. He saved you from hell so that you could walk in purity. And my fear, church, my worry, is that we don't walk in holy fear. We don't walk in holy fear. Now, you might be reading that and be like, I don't fear nobody. That's cool. You don't have to fear any man, but you should fear God. You should fear God. Why should you fear God? Well, last time I checked, he is holy, he is righteous, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the creator God. He breathed out the universe, the cosmos. He breathed it out and he created everything. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He judges the thoughts and the actions of your heart. He knows everything about your life. And one day we will stand before his judgment throne and give an account for what we've done. That's why you should fear God, because one day every word that you've ever spoken, for real, every word, every thought you've ever had, God knows, and we will stand before him, and he will say, what do you have? And we will simply say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. That's it. This was big for me, though. Like, why do I try to read my Bible every day? Or why do we encourage you to read your Bible? Or why do we encourage you to give of your time or your talents? Or why do we challenge you, hey, walk in purity instead of, hey, just do whatever you want, right? Like, why do we challenge you to do this? Because you can be a better father? Yes, you will be a better father, but that's not the main reason. To be a better husband? You will be a better husband, but that's not the main reason. The main reason we do that is going back to verse 1. I want to walk in a way that pleases who? That's why we do it. And then everything else flows from there. Let me show you. Verse 8. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but who? God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So it's God's standard, right? So I'm walking in a way that pleases God, living out his will for my life. And then when I do that, I am a better husband. I am a better father. I'm a better employee. I'm a better boss. Fill in the blank with whatever thing you want. You seek after Jesus, everything else will be taken care of as well. Right? It's an overflow of how I'm going to honor God. Because we are called to walk different. And man, if we don't have a holy fear of God, right, that he gave it all for you, that like I deserve hell, that's what I deserve. That's what all of us is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? If I don't, out of the holiness of God, like man, when was the last time that you just got on your knees and just said, thank you, Jesus, because I don't deserve this? When was the last time, men, that you just got on your knees and said, I can't do this on my own. Thank you, God, for helping me. And man, if that's true, if we have holy fear, then I get concerned with how we show it. Because we're coming into the house of God. And what do we do before every sermon? What do we do? What do we do? We worship, right? What do we do? We worship, right? Who are we worshiping? Who? God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that gave you life. Man, you would think some of y'all are waiting for the dentist the way y'all are acting in here. Just, I'm like, come on now, who are we worshiping here? Come on, like, oh, you don't like that song? It's a little too loud. I'm sorry. Last time I checked, though, heaven's gonna be bumping, okay? So we might as well be ready, right? Like, and then some of y'all, you don't even wanna worship. Y'all keep laughing, but I'm speaking some truth to you. You don't even want to worship God so much, you show up 15, 20 minutes late because God don't, you don't have time. You hear this? You don't have time to worship the creator of the universe. The one that gives life to you. Ah, I'm good. You don't contribute to church. You just consume. And I'm glad you're here. Really, I'm glad you're here. Praise God. I'm glad you're eating your donut, drinking your coffee. Praise God that you can consume because other people contributed so that you could consume, right? You're not contributing to what God's doing. You never read your Bible, right? You only come 1.2 times a month, and that's when you'll hear God's word if you're paying attention. But if a game's going on, you'll check your ESPN app 17 times, right? Like, come on now, and you wonder why your life doesn't look different. We're not even acting different in the house of God. If he is the Lord, I say this in love, if he is the Lord of your life, you got to show it with your actions. Why? Because he is worthy of our praise. Verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brother, to do this more and more. So what is he saying here? Keep going. Let me tell you, if you fought that temptation last night, keep going. If you fought the temptation today, keep going. Don't give up. You're doing the right thing. If you're walking differently, if you're fighting the good fight, keep going. Then he goes into verse 11. And aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you. How do we walk differently? He gives three practical ways to do it. And I feel like it's going to resonate with one of these things is going to resonate with you. To live quietly doesn't mean can't talk. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying stop focusing so much on yourself and start focusing on others. We have enough self-centered people. We need more Christ-centered people focusing on the hands and feet of Christ, how they can go bless people around them. Mind your own affairs. Share the gospel, not the gossip. Some of y'all are really good at the gossip piece, not necessarily the gospel, right? Like, well, I don't know about my friend. I don't know where they're at spiritually, but I'm going to tell him about or I'm going to tell her about so-and-so. Or you get on next door and you're just lighting it up. My next door neighbors, I can't believe what they're doing. I see you. Share the gospel, not the what? Gossip. And the last thing, to work with your hands. My generation struggles with this one. Millennials, we like game controllers over hammers, right? So like we don't really do this very well. But there's something powerful about getting your hands dirty, working, making a living, right? There's power in that. Going to do what God's called you to do. It also means, are you willing to get your hands dirty in your own personal life, in your heart? Because, man, I want to talk to you. Some of you, man, you're working hard, but you're on a wrong path because you got an addiction going on, man. And so you'll work all day with your hands. You're working hard, and you're providing for your family. But, man, you got something going on that you know you need to get right. It's one thing to realize, man, I'm on the wrong path, right? I'm not honoring God. It's another thing to say, am I willing to do what it takes to get it right? Am I willing to put in the work to get it right? Because church, we are called to walk what? Different. It's never easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And here's what's cool, okay? If you live out verses 1 through 11, so like if you, I don't know why I'm doing this, 1 through 11, I'm committed now, 1-11, right? If you live those verses out, the result is verse 12. So the if you do what God's called you, right? You walk in a way that pleases God. You walk differently. You walk in purity. You walk in holy fear. You get to verse 12, and this gets me excited. Check this out. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. You may walk what? Before who? Outsiders. So if you're walking in a way, which is cool because, right, this connects all the way back to verse 1, right? You're walking in a way that pleases God. You're setting the example. People will start to notice that your life looks different. But it also works in the inverse. If you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but your life looks no different than the people around you. You're addicted to the same things, talking the same way, acting the same way, doing all the same stuff. And then you say, hey, come to church. Why would they want what you have? There's nothing that you have that they don't have. Right? They look at your life and say, you're no different than me. Your marriage is just as broken. You're just as addicted to money as I am. You're talking the same way, listening to the same things. Why do I want what you have? Ah. But if you're walking different, right? They see it through your actions. And then if they need prayer, guess who they're going to come talk to? If their marriage is falling apart, guess who they're going to come talk to? And then if you have the boldness to invite your friend and say, hey, do you want to come to church with me? They look at your life and say, man, I'm nervous, but I want what you have. I want what you have. I don't even know what it is, but if it's this church thing, I'm in. And that's why I love my job. I do. I love my job because I get to see students live this out all the time where they walk differently. I've seen it so often that I can't tell you how many times I've seen a student, 13, 14, 15 years old, come to church and then their family sees them walking differently and their whole family starts coming. Parents, siblings, because they're willing to be different. And we actually talked about this at Revive Weekend. This was our theme for Revive Weekend. Make him known. Do y'all know where we got this from? I miss. Our mission statement. Yes, mission statement. Let me try it again. Hey, do y'all know where we got this from? Yeah. Hey, mission statement. It's the back half of our mission statement. To know Christ and to what? Make him known. And man, students are living this out, changing their families, changing their schools, right? I wish I could tell you story after story of what God has done, but I think the coolest way to show it to you is because students understand this, that it ain't for them, it's about them, and they want to go tell other people about Jesus, is how we got this picture. Over 1,300 students, high school and junior high, at Revive Weekend. Over 330 volunteers, 75 baptisms, yeah. This is not normal. And I know the next generation, they get a hard time. They do. And, you know, they're teenagers, so they do teenager things. But man, God is not done. And until the day he comes back, God is working. And I pray that these students are a reminder to you that you're not done. That until the day he returns or he calls you home, he has you here for a reason. And I have one story I want to show you out of this 1,300 students. His name was John. He went to our high school camp. And his life was far from the Lord. He kind of went to church in and out during junior high, but then when he got to high school, he started hanging out with the wrong people and fell into a really deep depression, which is honestly really, sadly, being really common with the next generation. So he fell into depression, and what sometimes happens is when you're trying to deal with something, you find a vice that helps you cope, but that vice might make everything worse in the long run, right? Like, it's short-term gratification, long-term devastation, and so he started drinking. And he started drinking more and more, and then he started drinking at school. And one day, March 1st, 2023, he was drinking on the way home on the bus, passed out. Woke up in the hospital, alcohol poisoning, and it's like, I gotta get my life right. And maybe you've had that moment. Maybe that's why you're here. I gotta get my life right. He had a buddy of his that he knew from school that walked differently. He could tell there was something different about it. He knew he was a follower of Jesus. He knew he was a Christian. He had a peace about him that was different. He's like, hey, I want to go to church with you. So they showed up at the Pearland campus. And he said from the moment he showed up, he felt different there. The pastor was different. Pastor Cade was killing it over there, helping him feel welcome. The students that even knew his past didn't hold it against him. So he started coming to church, started getting plugged in, started getting connected. And his friend, who was walking differently, kept inviting him to revive. He's like, I don't know, I don't want to go. The very last day, Sunday, the very last day, he's finally like, okay, I'll go. So he goes to sign up, and he doesn't have enough money. He has a job, but he doesn't have enough money. He's in high school, and so he calls Pastor K. He's like, is there anything I can do? And praise God, I want to just give a shout-out to those that give to our scholarship fund. Because in that moment, Cade was able to give him a scholarship to cover the rest of camp so that he could go. So thank you to our givers who give to that. Thank you. Thank you. There's countless stories like that. So we were able to get a scholarship. He was able to go to camp, experience Jesus, worship God, experience godly community that's not about gossip, but about the gospel. And then he got back. March 1st, 2023 is when he realized. He woke him in the hospital. I got to get my life right. March 1st, 2024, exactly 1 year later, he got baptized at our Pearland campus. How cool is that? Come on now. When you walk in purity, when you walk in holy fear, people notice. He showed up at the Pearland campus. Why? Because his friend was walking differently. And then he showed up and he saw the difference that the church was, right? He saw the body of Christ doing what the body of Christ does, which is different than the rest of the world. And what's cool is now John's gonna walk differently, right? So now he's gonna walk differently, and now he's gonna be an example for other people. And it's a chain reaction. That's what God does. And I just wanna tell you this. You have no idea the impact you are making by walking differently. All of those small decisions that you make, when you could, but you choose not to go down the other path, God is using that to change. I'm not being dramatic here. Change generations. Because this one story, he's not gonna stay 15 for the rest of his life, is he? He's gonna be a father and a grandfather, and he's gonna raise them in the ways of the Lord. Why? Because one person was walking differently. You have that ability. So when you're in that moment where it's easy to give in, right? Not gonna matter, it's okay, it's not gonna be, right? That's all the lies that the enemy tries to tell you. And you say, no, I'm gonna walk in purity, I'm gonna walk in holy fear, I'm gonna walk differently. You can change generations because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wanna invite our CPs up here, but I just wanna say this, one last thing. Until the day that Jesus comes to get us, we are called to walk different. Amen? God bless you, church. Thank y'all.
If you enjoyed the podcast, we encourage you to follow, share it with friends and family, or let us know by tagging us at New Hope Church TV on social media. We would love to connect with you. Thanks for listening.